Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and another installment of Meet the Panelist. It's a sporadic segment where we have in-depth discussions with Roundtable panelists who learn about their lives, careers, and how they arrive at their various points of view that they present on the Roundtable panel. We're talking for our second chat with CEO of the Business Council of New York State, Heather Mulligan, and it's wonderful to have you here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
There's several ways of asking this question. I guess the easiest one is sort of the mission statement of the council. Perhaps that is printed. I'm sure it is. But what you see it as?
Yeah, I mean, I think our role is to try and improve the business climate so that businesses can be established, so that entrepreneurs can start a business, and that they can grow and hire people and employ people and make really cool stuff. We are the Manufacturers Association. There's a lot of really cool stuff that's made in New York. And it's a, you know, it's an uphill battle because it's a very challenging place to do business. It's a high tax, high cost of energy, high cost of labor, a lot of sort of unique features to the state that make it much more difficult to successfully run a business in New York. And so part of my job is to try and help fix that. But our mission also relates to improving communities across the state. And the underlying theory is if you have a strong economy and you have a lot of people working and making decent money, that will improve the communities that they live in, because people tend to spend their money locally. And so, you know, we care about things like workforce development, public education. We care about healthcare and healthcare access. And so it's not just, you know, no taxes. So there are folks who are like, well, anything, you know, anything that we do relates to trying to individually benefit the businesses, but it's more about trying to create an environment where businesses can thrive.
How much of that is lobbying and changing the rules and working with state government and local governments to make it easier for businesses to thrive in the state?
So, I mean, lobbying is a huge part of my job. And we work very closely with the state agencies, particularly as they get handed legislation that has passed and now they have to figure out how to implement it. A lot of times we will put together groups and committees of our members who will actually give feedback to the agencies on how the practical application of a regulation will work. And some of it, you know, very complicated tax law changes. Sometimes you've got companies that do business in multiple states, in multiple countries. We try and make sure that as things get implemented, that it doesn't create anomalies so that we're doing something completely different than everyone else that would require, you know, a company to spend, you know, special amount of time doing just our tax returns, for example.
Right.
So we try to you look for consistency from state to state, especially for multi-state, you know, entities, which, you know, many businesses sure. do business in more than one state. But you also look for things that don't create sort of unanticipated problems. And you know, I'll give you an example. There was a piece of legislation that would have extended the paid family leave legislation or program, basically, to include bereavement leave. Which, you know, and so in addition to mandating the paid time off for, you know, a new family member or taking care of a spouse who is ill, it would also allow you to use the paid family leave provision for bereavement. However, when they wrote the bill, it didn't say when, it didn't say for how long. So the way it was written, you know, I could take 12 weeks bereavement leave to mourn, let's say, my grandfather who passed away in, you know, 1992. because there was just no context placed there. So we try and work with the legislature to fix these things. If the bill passes, that is, you know, in a form that is going to be a problem, we then work with the governor's office to try and secure a veto and or a fix. And then we will come back, knowing that this is something that is likely to be legislated. We'll come back with maybe some alternate solutions, like, say, it should be 3 days and it should be, you know, within a certain period of time from the person passing away, and, you know, right, that, and try and make it practical.
Heather Mulligan is our guest on Meet the Panelists, CEO of the Business Council of New York State. I'm curious about the power of the Business Council, because it seems that business in general does and should have a certain amount of power within the weighing of different systems in state government and within the climate of a state. How do you look at that?
I think that we are almost always the underdog. You know, there's a lot of conversation about political spending. The reality is, in New York, if you are a corporation, you're limited to $5,000 biannually for all of your political contributions combined. That does not apply. That kind of spending restriction does not apply, for example, to unions. And so if you were to look at political spending in New York, the top 10 spenders, usually 6 to 7 of them are organized labor. Now, I am not anti-labor. In fact, my businesses and my companies, many of them have unionized workforces. I feel like there's a huge value in having a strong labor force. So that being said, though, there is an acute disregard for the value of the private sector in our legislature. And in some instances, there's a fundamental lack of understanding of how the private sector supports the economy. You know, you can't have an economy that's 100% public sector, because the money has to come from somewhere. And that's the private sector. That's how, you know, that's how the economy works. But there is just a, you know, in many instances, there's this idea that, well, it's New York, so we can make the taxes whatever we want and no one will leave. And that's not what happens. We actually commissioned an economist to do a study on the financial services industry, because New York's very dependent on the financial services industry for our revenue. You know, like half of the personal income tax revenue comes directly from Wall Street. And it is a very small group of people. I mean, we're talking 40,000 people pay half of all the personal income tax in the state. And yet there's this sort of disdain for high income earners, and we're going to just keep taxing them to make sure they pay their, in, you know, air quotes, fair share. They're paying a fairer share here than they pay anywhere else, I guess, if you want to use the euphemism. But so I think there is, in many instances, there's sort of overt hostility on the part of the policymakers, the legislature in particular, that is really unfortunate. Now, that's not to say there aren't very strong voices in the legislature, but they're frequently shouted down. And so we try and hopefully we get legislators to understand the businesses that are in their district, that they employ their constituents, and that they provide value. They provide good things to New Yorkers.
Well, I was going to say, because the main thing that so many people run on is the creation of jobs in a community.
Right, right. And then I think famously, a presidential candidate at one point said, the private sector doesn't create jobs. Government creates jobs, yeah, which is not really true.
Yeah.
It's just not, that's not usually how it works.
So as we wrap up, I'm interested then in the fact, do you look at, is the dynamic that you explained about sort of being the underdog, is that fairly typical in most of the states in this union, or or is it very different than Oklahoma or?
Right. So we did actually a national survey with Siena, and it is stark. It depends on where you are. If you are in Kentucky, your businesses have huge amount of faith in their state government because their legislators, their governor, generally speaking, have highly value the industries that contribute to the state's economy. You know, most states, and there's a handful that are exceptions, it would be California, Illinois, New York. You know, there's a theme here.
Yes.
But most states are very protective of their largest contributor to GDP. They're very protective of the industries that support their state's economy. New York is an exception to that. California is an exception to that. New York is the only state that has financial services as its primary contributor. And yet, you know, we're constantly kicking that industry in the teeth.
So does that dynamic make your job, exciting or frustrating, or both?
Depends on the day.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'd say more frustrating, but I obviously have, I'm just a glutton for it, I guess. I mean, I started off doing criminal defense, which, you know, again, you're trying to create a sense of understanding for the person who is not necessarily the most popular one in the room. And in New York, it's in some ways, it's very similar. I have to go in and say, look, you know, this is a company that their average salary is XYZ. They contribute this much to the economy. You know, you really don't want them to invest in other states. But, you know, there's very we're very parochial here. A lot of folks think that you know, New York is the best place to be, and therefore no one would want to leave. But it, the harder you make it to stay here, the harder you make it to do business here, the more likely it is people are going to invest elsewhere.
Heather Mulligan is CEO of the Business Council of New York State, a panelist on the Roundtable, and it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.